Okay, so what we were interested in doing with this project is looking at how saccades are generated. So we have a sensory motor system that maximizes the information, and that's going to be a critical part of learning. So one interpretation of learning is a process of inference based on the information that you're gathering from the environment. And so you have to have some system that is doing that gathering of information. Specifically, we're going to look at the eyes, which play a supportive role. So if you're trying to reach for a particular object, you have to first know where that object is, and you can get that information by looking at that object. And then you can more successfully grab for what you're trying to get. And when we looked at prior saccade dynamics models, they've focused mostly on the physical plant, the eye itself, how the model can move, but they haven't really paid much attention to what the eye's role is, the role of gathering information from the environment. And so we wanted to see what sorts of things we could add to the description by including some information maximization. So first I'm going to take you through some of the previous saccade modeling approaches, and then I'll tell you what our extension was. Okay, so saccades are a very stereotyped behavior, and what we're looking at here is the velocity profile of saccades to different eccentricities. So they collected this data by having subjects fixate centrally and then make saccades horizontally to either 5 degrees, 10 degrees, 20, 30, 40, or 50 degrees from the central fixation location. And the important thing that you can see here is that on these short saccades, there's a very symmetric profile, whereas for the longer saccades, you get this leftward shifted peak in the velocity profile. So Harris and Wolpert explained that leftward shifted peak by including signal-dependent noise in the model of the eye. So if we have the eye's position here, it changes as a function of this drift here, which is basically a physical model of the eye. So it's like a spring pulling the eye back towards the central fixation location. Plus it changes with respect to the control, the muscle contraction that you use to move the eye, and some noise, which Harris and Wolpert said is dependent on the amount of muscle contraction that you put in. So this is analogous to if I'm holding the laser pointer and contracting my muscles, you can see that it's moving a lot more than if I don't contract my muscles. So this signal-dependent noise, when they used that to model saccade, explained this leftward shift in the peak. So just some technical details. When we talk about a saccade, we've got from zero to time t, there's the saccade, and then there's a fixation duration here from time t to time t plus f. And so what they did was they minimized the variance of the position x such that the expected value of the position is at the target location z. So you can see that on these short saccades here, it's symmetric, whereas on these long saccades, you get this leftward shift in the peak. And so so this comes from minimizing the endpoint variance, but it's assuming that the target of the saccade is known. This target z is fully known. Another approach looked at external models. So in this approach, they don't actually enforce that the eye is at the target z at time t, but they minimize the squared distance between the internal model of where that eye's position is and the target location. Plus, they're also minimizing the effort exerted in getting the eye to that location. And you can see that they also predict this leftward shift in the peak of the velocity. So what we wanted to do is add uncertainty in the target location. So you can imagine if you're fixating centrally and a light comes on in the periphery, you're not going to be completely certain about where that target location is. So So we model the eye as an information collecting device, and we also model the target location Z as an unknown, unobserved quantity, which has its own dynamics. It can move around a little bit and it can jitter with noise. And we've got an initial estimate of where that target location is. And then we get observations about where that target is, depending on what we're calling this visual acuity function, which determines the signal to noise ratio of the observation. So we've got an acuity function that depends on two things. One is the target eccentricity, so the farther away from the center of the eye's gaze the target is, the lower the signal to noise ratio is going to be. And you can think of this as a model of foveal vision. And then we also have a term that decreases the signal to noise ratio dependent on the eye's velocity. So the faster the eye is moving, the lower the quality of the information is that you're getting about the location of the target. And that's actually an interesting term, because it turns out that allows the controller to decide when the eye should move quickly and when it should move slowly. And I'll show you that later when we model smooth pursuit. Okay, so we need to develop a controller for this model, which is partially observable and nonlinear, and that's fairly difficult to do. So what we do is model the dynamics of this unknown target location with an extended Kalman filter, and then generate a control policy with ILQG. Okay, so now we have to determine what the eyes are trying to do. And so what we're saying here is that the eyes are trying to get as close as possible to the target location, but the target location is unknown, and so we have to take an expected value. And when we do that, it turns out that what we have is we're trying to minimize the distance between the eye and the expected value of the target, but we're also trying to minimize our uncertainty about where that target is, which I'm calling sigma here. And so that's why we're maximizing the information. We're trying to reduce this covariance and therefore increase the information we have about the target's location. Okay, and so when we use that as the objective function and generate control signals, you can see we also get this leftward shift and we get the symmetric profile for shorter saccades. And when we cross-validate that to make sure we're not overfitting to that particular example, you can see that our InfoMax approach has an error which is as good as the internal model approach and maybe a little bit better than the minimum variance approach. But the point here is that it's just as good, at least, as the other models at explaining the velocity profiles of the saccades. And that's, again, without the knowledge of where the target location is. But eyes also make other movements, and so we wanted to see if this same model could predict those. So what we have here is a target. So this graph here on the right, the green dashed line shows the location of the target. So as time goes on, it's just moving at a constant velocity farther away from the center of the eye. And when the eye starts at the same location as the target, you can see that there is there's smooth pursuit behavior that comes out of this model. And additionally, when we start the eye at position 0 and the target at position 5, the model first makes this quick saccade to catch up and then smooth pursuit thereafter. And so this, we haven't compared this to human data yet, but we've seen that at least qualitatively it performs similarly to how humans behave when they're smoothly pursuing targets. And we can also model hand-eye coordination. So Crane collected some data in the Poisner lab with two conditions. One where subjects were asked to move their hand to a target at a particular eccentricity from a central point, and another condition where they only had to move their eyes to that target. So in the eye plus hand condition, there was no instruction about what to do with the eyes at all. You can do whatever you want, you just have to get your hand as close as possible to that target. And what you saw in that condition is that the eye's fixation location actually undershot the target. So this start point is here, the target is this green circle. The end point of the hand is here, and the eyes are over here. Whereas in the eye-only condition, you see that because they were told to move their eyes to that particular target, they did that, and they didn't undershoot. And so our model actually explains this undershoot. So if we reward the model for getting its simulated hand into this particular target area where the target is unknown, and the only way that the model can gain information about where that target is by directing its eyes at that target, you can see that the dashed line here is the behavior of the eye in the eyes with hand condition and the eyes alone condition in red. And you can see that the model, which is the solid line, also predicts this undershoot. So just to sum up, we've got a model for how saccades are generated in an information maximization setting about an unknown target location. And this describes the human saccade trajectories at least as well as other models which know the position of the target. And we can also explain non-saccadic eye movements like smooth pursuit. And we can fit the dynamics of the hand-eye coordination. And so as I mentioned briefly earlier, this is interesting because it allows the controller of the eye to choose when to move into open loop mode. So the visual acuity function, because it depends on the eye's velocity, it can choose when to make saccades and when to do smooth pursuit in order to get the most information about the target's location. And that's it. I can take questions.